Welcome to Education Currents, a show designed to provide current educational news and commentary from a Christian worldview. The greatest resource any community has is its children, and by providing for them the best possible education, we are providing for ourselves and future generations. Join us as we explore the latest social and political issues surrounding education. Here are your hosts, Dr. Rose Gamblin and Paul Tulio.
Welcome to our show. We're so happy to have with us today Dr. Carl Moeller, and he has written the book, The Privilege of Persecution. And I would like to just jump into the questions, but I want to set the stage with a little bit of information about you. I know that you are dedicated to Christ and to the World Church. In 1983, you joined the Campus Crusade for Christ International, and you gained your global perspective of the global church during that time. All of these work experiences have prepared Dr. Moeller for his passion of recognizing the persecuted church. He was appointed president and CEO of Open Doors USA, and that was founded more than 55 years ago by Brother Andrew. So I'm sure I have missed a lot of information. We'll gather it as we go through our interview here. Thank you so much for being on our show. And we're going to start with The Privilege of Persecution. Just the title must make us stop to pause as Christians. Why would you consider persecution a privilege?
Yeah, Rose, thank you for that. And it is a question that we wanted to be raised by the title. My co-author, David Haig, who's a pastor in Santa Clarita, California, and I both have experienced this, what we call the paradox of persecution. This fact that persecution itself can be a tremendous blow to Christians, but it is also a very strong opportunity for Christians to let the love of Jesus shine through them and to be a witness for Jesus, even in the worst of circumstances. I have to be honest, the title is not mine original. It actually comes from the New Testament. It was quoted to me from a pastor in Columbia who said to me, Carl, you know, we believe in Philippians 1:29. And, you know, with my immensely scholarly brain about Scripture, I'm going, what does that verse say? What does that verse say? But in that verse, Paul says, for to you it has been granted the privilege not only of trusting in Christ, but of suffering for him as well. And so the reality is that in a way, Christians throughout history have seen the opportunity to follow Christ in his sufferings as a privilege, as an opportunity for them to show the truth of the gospel through their endurance of that persecution.
You know, as I read your book and thought about the church as a whole, really, even when I go back to the Reformation, like Tyndale, that the Bible, he had such an influence on the King James
yes.
version of the Bible, and out of that, he was terribly persecuted. I mean,
oh, absolutely,
he died for his faith. He had the ultimate experience of martyrdom.
That's right. That's right.
But out of that came the King James version of the Bible. So much of the King James version of the Bible can be attributed to him. Now we look at today, and in here in North America, we don't feel so persecuted. We take for granted.
That's very true, Rose. And you know, the inescapable fact is that as Americans, we live in probably the most unique nation history's ever produced. That God has ever allowed a nation like ours to exist, where incredible, as Francis Schaeffer used to call it, titanic freedoms exist, alongside incredible responsibilities that we have as citizens. You know, in Soviet Russia, when our ministry was founded, citizens, their responsibilities to the state were really very small. They didn't have a lot of responsibilities, but they also didn't have a lot of freedoms, and they didn't have rights. Here in America, we've produced a nation that has incredible rights and responsibilities, and yet one of the unescapable. And of course, it's produced an incredible amount of wealth and affluence and influence around the world, like the world has never seen before. But there's a downside or a dark side to that, I might say, in that we've become somewhat, in my opinion, addicted to that materialism and that consumerism in the church in America. We've sort of felt it's our right to have these things.
So do you think the lack of persecution is one of the reasons why we are the Laodicea?
That's a loaded question, but I think that there's a lot of parallels, of course, to Laodicea, and being a lukewarm church. David and I both have a deep, deep love for the American church and a passion to see America restored to its moral and religious heritage, to see America once again, its pulpits of flame, as it was said, with righteousness. If we learn these lessons that the global church, through persecution, has learned, that's the premise of our book,
Yes. Then
we can perhaps... As the Bible says, perhaps if we do repent, if we do turn from these ways that we've adopted as our culture, then perhaps God will hear from heaven, heal our land, and turn us back on a path of righteousness. I still believe that's possible. I believe anything with God is possible. So our hope in this book was to say to the American church, look, it's not too late to learn from someone else's persecution.
Yes.
Not have to go through it ourselves.
Be wise.
My mom used to tell me that, experience is not the best teacher. Someone else's experience is the best teacher.
That's right.
And truth is, our brothers and sisters in the persecuted church pray for us. Pray that we would be educated in this way.
Now, that I read that, and that's very humbling. It was humbling for me to go, wow, they're praying for me, I always thought I was the one praying for you, Who gives you the right to pray for me? And I realize this is the very attitude that you're talking about.
It is. We have
in my culture.
Well, we have to. We have the problem in America of assuming that we have things and other people need them. So in our goodness, in our largesse, we will go and give them to them. I can put it this way. When I go to preach in a church and I say to people out there, how many of you have been on a missions trip to somewhere? And, there'll always be a certain percentage of hands that go up. And I'll say, and now how many of you went thinking that you were going to do something for those people, build a house, teach some children, encourage some, dying AIDS patients or whatever it was? And they all raised their hand. Yes, we were going to do some great things. And I said, how many of you were totally surprised to when you came back that the real blessing was what they gave to you and the experience that you came back with, and every hand stays up? Because the truth of the matter is, those people that we sometimes call the church out there or the global church, they have an experience with Jesus Christ that we desperately crave in America. I've been among the most poor peoples of the world in Pakistan, illiterate, have nothing, and yet they have an incredible joy of the Lord. They have nothing that we would say in the world, but they have everything in Jesus. And it was a Chinese house church pastor who told me that one phrase, Carl, we pray for you. Because in China, we've learned that persecution is only the devil's second best weapon to destroy the church. Materialism and consumerism is his best weapon to weaken and destroy the church. And boy, did that just penetrate me like a laser beam. I went, wow, he's right.
Now, is there one area of the world that is more persecuted? What is the most persecuted country in the world?
Sure. Each year we produce at Open Doors USA, we produce a list we call the World Watch List, and we work with our field teams all over the globe in about 60 countries. The top 50 countries ranked in severity of persecution. And the worst place on earth for the last 9 years is North Korea. I mean, it's a horrific place for anybody, but particularly heinous for Christians. That's followed by Iran and Saudi Arabia and then several others. In fact, of the top 50, over 30 of them are Muslim countries, where we see today the greatest majority of Christian persecution taking place is throughout the Muslim world. There's still, of course, many, many tens of millions of Christians persecuted in China. North Korea, of course, we just mentioned is the worst, but the population there is not as big as it is across the Muslim world. And in dozens and dozens of countries, we see some just mind-boggling restrictions on Christian faith.
Now, I know it's kind of probably going backwards at the interview, but how did your childhood bring you to this point? You can look back and see how there were key points in your childhood that brought you to this
sure.
point where you're at today.
Sure. I was raised with parents who loved the Lord Jesus. As a young man, growing up, my parents would bring home missionaries to our home on a regular basis. I don't even know if that's done anymore, you know, in today's modern churches. But these missionaries would come to our home after we'd see them at church, and they would have been, you know, I can still remember a nurse from the Congo and some teachers from Kenya and, you know, and some European missionaries. And I kept thinking to myself, this is incredible. I mean, these people get to live for the Lord in such amazing circumstances. Little did I know that one day I would be doing similar type things. But when I was 12, I went to a church camp and I read this really cool magazine. And you might be familiar with the book God Smuggler by Brother Andrew. But this was the comic book version of God Smuggler. So a 12-year-old boy at church camp is like, this guy is awesome. I thought that was amazing. And again, little did I know that one day I would actually be sitting on Brother Andrew's couch, having him welcome me as president of Open Doors. So it was quite a moment. But some of those experiences, I think, really sort of shaped me. And then through college and through Campus Crusade for Christ at Penn State University, I became exposed to the global Christianity as well. Upon leaving university, I went to work for Campus Crusade. And ultimately, my wife and I spent some time with Crusade in Eastern Europe right about the time that communism fell there in 1989. And so we were in Eastern Europe as all of these things were taking place. And we saw the church had been horribly persecuted, but things were changing rapidly during that time.
Okay, we're going to take a break right here, but when we come back, we're going to talk some more with Dr. Carl Mueller and the privilege of persecution. We'll be right back.
Homeschool Companion is a show for homeschoolers and their homeschool teachers, and each show begins with a short story for the young at heart.
Hello?
Hey, it's me, Rick. Guess what came in the mail today?
An elephant?
No, better than that. It's this magazine I've been waiting for. I'll show you tomorrow. You've got to come over and see this.
Oh, all right. But I've got to clean my room first.
Why? It's the first day of summer vacation.
I know. But Mom told me she can't remember the color of my carpet because of all my stuff. She says I'm a prisoner until I get my room as clean as my sister's.
We offer a variety of guests featuring many topics like what to do if your child hates math or how long should you keep your child at home to special needs children or encouraging the young author to keep writing or even publish a book.
For my first book, there's a huge pimple on my nose. I did what's called self-publishing, which meant that I had all the control of it myself.
Not everyone who listens to our show schools at home. We also cover issues that arise in small private school settings or other issues found in large public schools.
We have a small student body, about 120 students, so we have a very family-focused, family-type atmosphere on our campus.
Kids say funny things at times, and they also ask us questions, sometimes too many questions. What do you do when your child stresses you out?
The soldiers are coming. Hush, baby Moses, hush. They'll hear you. Don't cry, please, baby Moses, don't cry. Baby Moses, I think they're gone.
Baby Moses, an I Can Read book for beginning readers. Check us out at myhomeschooler.com. That's all one word. myhomeschooler.com.
Welcome back. We're talking with Dr. Carl Mueller, President and CEO of Open Doors USA and the author of The Privilege of Persecution. Now, how did you come about writing this book?
Well, you know, Rose, that's a great question because I could have, and many people had asked me to write books about the stories of the persecuted, and we certainly have those in many, many places. You know, great pastors, great widows, and those that have survived great persecution. But again, because David and I really feel a burden for the church, and David became associated with us by writing some of our material for us, we both felt like, you know, there's a stronger message here. There's a message that's not just about their suffering.
Yes, I was surprised when I read the book. I go, wow, this is for me. This is not about them. This is about me.
Yes, it is. And it is about those types of things that we can learn in a humble, godly way from our brothers and sisters in the global church. You know, if I can picture it as a circle, and if people can imagine a circle, our half of the circle, if you will, is the material resources that the persecuted need just to survive. Sometimes it's Bible, sometimes it's even food, clothing, and shelter. But we've been blessed by God with those things. But you know, there's some desperate needs in our churches too.
Yes.
Needs for recommitment to prayer and the authority of God's word and a community of faith that's authentic. We need to remember our proper place in society as a church and to call our society back to righteousness and these roles that we have largely as a church abandoned. But guess what? That circle needs to be completed because the persecuted church, although they have nothing physically, have these sort of lessons learned through experience in abundance, and they want to share them with us. They want to show us, inspire us, that's the word we're using, to walk closer to Christ that way.
And the only way they can really do it is through conduits such as yourself, because they don't even have the resources to print a book,
mm-hmm.
or be on the radio.
That's right.
Or communicate.
That's right.
It's very limited. Now, you asked a question that I would like answered. What is their attitude toward the government and political power that's causing all this persecution on them?
Well, I like to say as well that the global church is the persecuted church. Now, why is that? Because wherever the gospel is penetrating darkness, wherever it's going into places where a church hasn't yet been established, it goes in penetrating a spiritual power.
Yes.
We have to remember that,
mm-hmm.
that it's not going into a vacuum of spiritual emptiness. It's going into paganism or communism or Islam or Hinduism or Buddhism. Wherever the gospel goes forward, mm-hmm. it goes into something. And the enemy doesn't mm-hmm. take that lying down, if you will. There's always an opposition that comes to true growth of the church. So that's why I think persecution is the universal experience of growing in healthy churches. Now think about that for a moment.
Mm.
If your church and your community is not experiencing some form of persecution, you have to ask yourself, as Brother Andrew said, if nobody's shooting me, I have to ask, am I not worth a bullet? You know, and the fact of the matter is our churches have by and large, stepped into sort of the cultural mainstreams. Now, I'm not talking about Hollywood mainstream or sort of the moral filth. I mean, most times our churches are still holding the line on personal morality. But when it comes to public morality and our public role in society, we have to be much more alike the persecuted church that is using a position of powerlessness but great influence. In America, most of our political figures and most of our nation are run by quote-unquote Christians.
Yes.
And yet that great power has not yet produced much change in our society. And so one of the lessons that I'd encourage people to read the book about is how does a church like the persecuted church in China, for example,
mm-hmm.
over 35 years, turn that country from great hostility to Christians, murderous hostility mm-hmm. against Christians, to now even government officials saying, we need to have Christians in the government, and we need to have Christians in business, because their morality produces a greater degree of wealth for people.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's a big change, and that
yes.
is a very strong lesson for us to learn
yes,
here.
Yes, that is. Now, Open Doors, do you go in and help these persecuted? Describe for our listeners
sure.
what Open Doors USA does.
Sure. Well, we've been affiliated as part of Open Doors International for
okay.
The whole time it's been here in the United States since the 1970s. And Brother Andrew, of course, has been delivering Bibles and serving persecuted believers.
Mm-hmm.
He's 83 now, so he's still doing this. So I say it in the present tense, since 1955. So we are part of that great movement, serving persecuted Christians globally wherever they need help. We do four things, I like to say. We do four things, and they are not the kinds of things that you might immediately assume Bible smugglers do, like bring Bibles. we do that. We also train, and we also provide socioeconomic help or Christian community development and advocacy and many other things. But essentially, in everything we do, we have four strands of DNA. And, you know, as a teacher, you know what I'm talking about with DNA. You know, those are the sort of building blocks of who mm-hmm. we are. First is access or accessibility. Accessibility for us is the key. You see, we get in where other people can't. We are present where other people leave. And in fact, we even have a children's center in Colombia that was abandoned by another mission when violence broke out in the area. And we said, can we take over the buildings and start a children's center there for children in these violent areas? And so in many ways, Open Doors accessibility has given mm-hmm. us tremendous leverage for the gospel, and tremendous ability to speak into those situations that Christians on the ground in those countries face. So for 55 years in some places, we've been present in these places. But not only that, we have what we call scalability. Because, you know, there are many organizations you might talk to that says, well, we're working in 15 countries or 20 countries. The question you have to ask is, what does the work look like? In many cases, it's simply a church or two, which is fine, but it doesn't reach the millions that yes. are opportunities mm-hmm. for the growth of the gospel and for the strengthening of the church. So when we talk about scale, we talk about 5 million Bibles last year delivered into the hands of Muslim background believers in countries like Iran and Saudi Arabia and Yemen and mm-hmm. China and North Korea. Hundreds of people bringing smuggling Bibles and printing Bibles illegally in these countries. So that's what scale looks like. And then there's those two things would be great alone, but they produce a third component, which is credibility. Our material, the World Watch List, which we mentioned, is used by the State Department, the U.S. Commission on International Religious Liberty, and even the European Union last year appointed a special commission to look into Christian persecution across the world, and they used our World Watch List as the basis for their investigation.
Fantastic.
So we know that the material that we have has produced a credibility, a reliability of what we're saying is going on in mm-hmm. these places that even our government can rely on to form policy. But all of those things would be useless if it wasn't for the fourth strand of DNA. And I know I'm going on a little bit about this, but the fourth strand is simply this, invisibility. The fact that you and I are describing this organization to people who have never heard of it before, but yet for 55 plus years it's been on the front lines of the advance of the gospel globally, yes. and is frankly one of the largest mission organizations that you've never heard of, it is a testimony to the fact that we do these four things, that we get in, mm-hmm. we ramp it up, we do what we say we're going to do, and we stay out of the spotlight.
Yeah.
That gives us a capacity to get things done that is almost yes. unrivaled in the Christian world.
And it's so biblical.
Well, you know, our founder, Brother Andrew, is one of the most humble men I've ever had the privilege of spending time with. He is a godly man who never intended to found anything. He never wanted to become anything like a Christian celebrity, and that's why, you know, so many in the younger generation don't know him.
Yes, but I thought he had passed away. I'm so glad to know he's still going.
I'll tell him that.
Yes. Well, this is the close of our show, but what a word of encouragement you've given to our listeners, and I hope and encourage each one of you to go to the website.
Two websites. One
two
for
websites.
The book is theprivilegeofpersecution.com, and they can go there and they can get the first
okay.
chapter for free. They can look at the book and read the comments of people about it, and also order it from there if they'd like to.
Yes.
Or they can go to our website at Open Doors USA. It's opendoorsusa.org.
Okay, so that's an org, opendoorsusa.org.
.org, and there they can get the whole range of resources available to
well,
encourage them.
Yes, thank you so much for being with us. I have one last thing to say, and that's God bless.
God bless you, Rose. Thank you.
You've been listening to Education Currents, a production of MRG Media. We're now on Facebook, and we'd love to have you join our discussion. Once you're in Facebook, just type in the name Education Currents. We'll also like to thank our production staff, the various networks that make this broadcast possible. For more information on education topics, go to educationcurrents.com. That's educationcurrents.com.